From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 16th day of October, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, the world's financial system is in for a global overhaul. The chair of the House Ag Committee says it doesn't appear the credit crunch has had an impact on the ability of U.S. farmers to borrow. And the price of soybeans has fallen far enough for long enough to trigger crop insurance payments for both GRIP and RA policies. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear why, while index funds wield a great big bag of money, they do not influence the price of commodities, at least over the long run. Hey, and don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. They missed their regular Monday gig, and Pete Levitt's away today. No matter, we'll get her all done on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL. It's public radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Checking the numbers now as they settled in Chicago on a Thursday afternoon. Futures in the wheat pit like this December contract at 5.55 and a quarter, down a half cent for the day. March futures at 5.75 and a quarter, down three quarters of a cent. And May contract at 5.88 and a quarter for the soft red, down a penny and a half. Hard red winter wheat in Kansas City at $5.88, 2 cents for the day in the December contract. December corn futures from Chicago, 3.84 and a half, down 3 and a half cents. The March at 4.01 and a half, down 4. May contract at 4.12 and a half, down 4 and a half. And July at 4.23 and a quarter, down 4 and 1 half for the day. Now come the green numbers. November beans were higher today, $8.67 a bushel, up 9 cents. January futures at 8.80 and a quarter, up 7 and 3 quarters, and the March at 8.90 and a half, 6 and a quarter higher. May contract in the bean pit, $8.99 and 3 quarters, up 5 cents. December bean meal at $2.52, up $7.50. December bean oil at $35.45, 8 cents lower. October live cattle, 22 and a half cents higher at $89.45. The October feeders at 96.80. Up 40 cents on the day, and the December lean hog futures down $2.10 a hundredweight at $55.97.5. From the University of Illinois campus in Urbana-Champaign, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like on this Thursday afternoon. November crude oil futures for the day are trading at $69.85 a barrel now, down $4.69. December there at $70.20, down $4.68. November ethanol at $1.67.5, 2 7/10 lower. Natural gas at $6.72.5, up 13 3/10. RBOB gasoline for the November at $163.2. That's up, or rather down, 14 9/10. And the heating oil is also lower, about 10 cents, at $2.09 for the day. November propane at $0.91, down 7 7/10. And the October gold at $801.50 an ounce, down $34 for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average currently stands at 86.67. That's just about 90 points higher. And the U.S. dollar at 82.46 is up 0.01 for the day. The CRB index at 275.85, down 7.19. The Goldman Sachs at 464.45. Down 21.24. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. From our own chief meteorologist, Ed Keezer, clear to partly cloudy skies, he says. Lows will range tonight from 35 in far northwestern Illinois to 45 in the far south. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds, some sunshine. A few widely scattered showers are possible in Illinois and western Indiana during the afternoon and evening tomorrow. Highs will range from 53 in northwestern Illinois to 65 in the far south. Dry weather expected over the weekend. A few showers may accompany a cold front Monday afternoon and evening. Another round of showers possible during the middle of next week. The newest run of the American GFS model shows cool and wet weather starting, says Ed, at the end of next week. That is somewhat of a change from the previous model runs, so may or may not be accurate. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from WILL AM 580.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
On a Thursday afternoon here on the Closing Market Report, we always talk with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. He's with us this afternoon. Hello to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Let's talk about the soybean market, a little upswing in it today.
Yeah, we had basically from where we were earlier this morning, everything put in some pretty decent closes. You can kind of just kind of look at the low points and where we closed at. Soybeans are a little over 40 cents or so above their session lows, and we ended up closing 6 to 9 higher. This is the third attempt at a reversal up, so I don't know if three times a charm or not, but this is the third time that the market has posted a daily reversal to the upside over the past week and a half or so. I think it's reflecting the fact that we're making some pretty good progress in soybean harvest. I mean, I know Monday's report said about 50%, so we've had a couple good days, depending upon which location you're at. You know, we are moving down the road on harvest, and any times you get past that 50% mark on harvest, you begin to see some easing of harvest pressures, and I think the market's starting to maybe try to get some traction from a seasonal point of view, but I think it's still maybe a shade earlier. So,
did you find of interest that the soybeans were able to finish the day in the green, despite the fact that crude oil is below $70 a barrel now?
Well, true. I think, but I think a lot of the you got to take a look though at the equity market. I mean, we're up 200 to 300 points. I don't know where we'll finish up at 3 o'clock, but I think the stabilization in the equity market has gone a long way as basically supporting the ag commodities, despite the oil market continuing to slide.
Well, what is your what are your charts telling you at this point?
Well, they're still bearish. I mean, there's nothing that we did today that would necessarily negate a longer-term bullish stance. But you always, you know, something a reversal up always gets my attention. The key here will be whether or not we'll be able to follow through to the upside, and then whether or not we could maybe pull out a higher weekly finish. I think if we could pull out a higher weekly finish in soybeans on some strong follow-through tomorrow, I think that would go a long ways, at least telling us that we found a short-term bottom for a while. Without that, there's still some downside price risk in this stuff based upon some chart gaps that were left here a week ago, a week and a half ago, that you know, are there. We don't necessarily have to go down there and get them, but depending upon what happens maybe over into the equity markets and whatnot, at least the market's vulnerable to go down to some of these lower levels.
On the higher weekly, are you just talking about a settlement higher, or do you want an outside up week?
Well, an outside up week would be good, but I don't think we'll get one of those because we took a pretty good tumble last week. I think a higher weekly finish would be pretty decent, given the fact that it would be, you know, 50, 60 cents above the weekly lows. I think that would probably be a pretty good sign.
Yeah, I think last week's high was, what, 990, so I don't think we can get that high today.
Yeah, I don't think we could. You know, anything can happen in this kind of market, but I can't visualize that happening in the next 24 hours.
No, that's right. So where do we go on corn then?
Corn, you know, we finished. We were higher here a little bit, but in the last 15 minutes, a trade or so, we gave up the ghost and closed lower. You know, technically, corn has a gap in it too that was left to go a week ago Monday.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of opens the door down below 350. And we'll have to see whether or not there's that much weakness in the marketplace. Harvest, though, is we've got a long ways to go. And I think we'll have to kind of see on that. Demand, for the most part, is just so-so. There's nothing really exciting on the demand side of the equation. ethanol producers continue to have struggle for on profit margins, and there hasn't been a lot of activity on the export front either.
So if we go through 350, what's the next stop down at the 310, 308?
Well, there's a 3.25 objective that I think a lot of chart people are looking at. That doesn't necessarily mean we have to go down there, but based upon some chart gaps, you could say that maybe, you know, we're vulnerable to that anyway, depending upon you know, how things pan out here in the global economic situation over the next few months.
How do you think the health of the agricultural community is at this point financially? And I'm thinking particular of the elevators who had such a tough time carrying the margin calls to the top side.
Well, they should be in a lot better shape than where they were back during the summer, because prices are about half what they were back then. So if they were able to finance the margin calls up to those loftier levels and able to hang on, they should be in excellent shape anyway compared to where they were, you know, 3-4 months ago. So, and the crop did turn out to be good in many areas, so farmers are able to deliver on their contracts. So I think everything from some early season scares about maybe some farmers not being able to produce enough to deliver on their contracts and whatnot has turned out to be you know, kind of a unwarranted fear, but there was definitely some fears of that back during that June-July time frame.
Are you hearing anything from South America yet?
Well, not any different than anybody else is hearing, that there may be little, if any, expansion in soybean acreage due to the global financial situation, and I think, you know, that would be generally positive the soybeans. I think that might give soybeans a fundamental reason to try to rally a little bit, maybe shed some of the bearishness of the larger USDA numbers as we go into the fall. Because if Brazil and Argentina come up on the shorter side of on the supply side, that's going to, you know, keep the gates open anyway for some better soybean prices here down the road.
And finally, over the past several years, farmers at least once and maybe twice have been burned by selling the next year's crop too early. Are we on the backside of that, and does that mean they need to sell early this time around?
Well, that's a hard one to say. I mean, in this type of environment that we have of uncertainty, one doesn't probably want to put all of his eggs on in any one particular selling strategy. You know, today's market offers farmers a lot of flexibility in the cash contract front as well as with options and futures. So I guess I would still encourage farmers to have flexibility, but they also have to brace themselves for the worst too, and protect themselves, I guess, from the downside given the activity that we've seen in the global situation here over the past 3 to 4 weeks.
Dan, we thank you for joining us today.
Very well.
Dan Zwickers with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
We'll take just a bit of time now to toot our own horn, at least that of the College of ACES, the Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus. It's the Agricultural College, and it's number one in ag engineering nationwide. Congratulations to the folks in ABE, that's Agricultural and Biological Engineering, in the College of ACES. Also, congratulations going to Mike Hutchins. This past month, a leading dairy industry group named the Extension Dairy Specialist from Illinois as the 2008 Industry Person of the Year. That award was presented during the World Dairy Expo in Madison, Wisconsin. The World Dairy Expo is the world's largest dairy event. This year's awards committee decided to bestow a unique honor on an Illinois dairy specialist. The committee notes no one has been more instrumental in raising levels of knowledge about the dairy industry than Mike Hutchins. The Industry Person of the Year Award recognizes the University of Illinois Extension specialist role in building a worldwide industry connecting people, technology, and commerce. Although he's received numerous honors during his three decades in Extension dairy work, Hutchins says the World Dairy Expo Award is both humbling and unique.
Well, according to some of the criteria that was listed, it would include such things as some of our internet teaching programs, which has worldwide reach as far as that goes. They're the only one probably in the world right now, especially in the dairy sector, that's doing this. The ability to take a very basic research produced here at the University of Illinois and translate it out to dairy producers and get it out so they can get immediate use of that research. The amount of mass media work we do, trying to get information out to both consumers and producers using television and radio and magazines, and then our publications. We do lots of publications in terms of not only Illinois publications, but four-state publications and Hordes Dairyman, Dairy Today, and other magazines as well. So it's a combination of getting information out, working with clientele groups like the American Association of Bovine Practitioners. We put training programs on for veterinarians every year. We do training programs for feed companies as far as that goes, and then, of course, for our own Illinois dairy producers.
Mike Hutchins' dairy education work has taken him to 46 states, 16 foreign countries, and 9 of Canada's provinces, speaking about programs, observing industry practices, and advising producers. Mike Hutchins is just one of 3 academics upon whom the World Dairy Expo has bestowed the Industry Person of the Year Award. The award has been made annually for about half a century. Our closing market report congratulations go out to University of Illinois Extension Dairy Specialist Mike Hutchins for being the 2008 Industry Person of the Year. The award was presented at the World Dairy Expo in Madison, Wisconsin this month. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take us through all of the agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the U.S. and European Union will meet this weekend in preparation for a global summit to overhaul the world's financial system. The current system was set up in Bretton Woods, New Hampshire in 1944. British Prime Minister Gordon Brown says the EU believes now is the time to reform the international financial system as the world faces its worst credit crisis in more than 80 years. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson says he has not seen any indication that the credit crisis is affecting the ability of farmers to get loans. Peterson says rural lenders see the credit crisis, quote, more as a distraction. Meanwhile, Peterson says there is a turf battle brewing between the CFTC, SEC, and Federal Reserve regarding oversight and regulatory authority. The CME group is developing a proposal for a swaps clearinghouse under the oversight of CFTC, but the Intercontinental Exchange, or ICE, is working with the Federal Reserve on the same issue. Soybean prices have fallen far enough to trigger some payments from crop revenue insurance policies, even on fields that reach expected yields. Payments won't be finalized until harvest prices are calculated later this month, but if soybean futures hold at current levels, group income risk protection claimants could see $100 to $200 an acre. Revenue assurance and crop revenue coverage policies could get $20 to $70 an acre payout, depending on yields. Tyson Foods says it will tighten its country of origin labeling practices beginning early next year to reflect more beef and pork produced exclusively in the U.S. Initially, Tyson planned on using more multiple country of origin labeling, but abandoned that plan after receiving feedback from government officials and industry groups. And Brazil's National Monetary Council has approved a $2.6 billion credit line for the agricultural sector. The measure is designed to help farmers maintain targets for the 2008-2009 crop season. Brazil producers say that lower crop prices, soaring costs for fertilizer, and the credit crunch could lead to a reduction in the size of the new 2008-2009 soybean, corn, and cotton crops. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Baisdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Now up next, it's time to renew land leases around the Midwest, and while it appears cash rents probably will go up, one U of I farm management specialist says it may not be a prudent financial decision on the part of farmers. The Illinois Society of Professional Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers is expecting cash rents in the state will go up by $40 an acre for highly productive farmland. The rents for the 2009 growing season are being negotiated now. University of Illinois Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnitke is wary of the price hike and the ability of producers to make such an increase pay.
Actually, I would say if you're looking at the fundamentals of it, 2008 is likely to be more profitable than 2009. So you shouldn't probably be seeing cash rent increases of this magnitude.
The primary driver, Schnitke says, for the lower profit levels on the row crop farm in 2009 are the non-land cost, the fertilizer, the seed, and the chemicals.
We're looking on average probably about a $180 increase on corn, close to a $90 increase on soybeans. So seeing costs go up by, you know, on average, blending across those crops of $120 to $130 an acre. So that on top of a cash rent increase, we're looking, margins are going to get much tighter in the 2009 year versus now.
The problem with cash rent is that it always chases profits and to some extent losses. The I didn't charge enough last year, so I'll make it up this year, landowner's remorse. It's a very easy way for an absentee landowner to rent a farm because they don't share the risk of farming like a crop share or share rent lease agreement.
Having said that, the major advantage of one of the major advantages of a share rent to a landlord is that they don't have to renegotiate it every year. We've been in the process now where many landlords are asking each year what cash rent should be and trying to adjust it to the changing market conditions out there. Share rent does that automatically by sharing those revenues and those costs.
Gary Schnitke and the Ag Econ team at the University of Illinois say if the landowner is going to use a cash rent agreement, then it's best to reassess it every year. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Strategic Capital, Champaign, your area IGA food stores, Birch Tree Counseling and Consulting, Champaign, and Swire's Land and Management Company, Danville. These business partners join the Friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
In just 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. The folks at Chesapeake Energy will join us. If you'd like to hear what they have to say after the fact, you can always do that on our website. The address is WILLAG.org. And two other things, if I haven't said it recently, and I know I haven't, thank you. Thank you very much for listening. And the second thing is, stay safe out there. Take a little afternoon nap. If you get the chance, it'll be a good for you. And good for the family, too, and keep you safe during the harvest season.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. One small banker in Champaign County says the state is creating a new tool that could be of use to struggling banks, but it's not necessary for his firm just yet. State Treasurer Alexi Janulius today said he's transferring $1 billion of state investments into a fund that banks can borrow from. Janulius says the extra credit may help more banks to keep lending during the economic slowdown while being a better investment for Illinois government. The president of Fisher National Bank says his operation is still lending and hasn't had any problems finding bigger institutions to borrow from. A state appeals court says election officials must use a ballot asking voters if they want a constitutional convention, despite language on the ballot that critics call false and misleading. The Illinois Appellate Court handed down its two-sentence order this morning without explaining its decision. They say an explanation will follow. Critics complain the ballot falsely tells voters that not voting is the same as voting no, and unfairly tells voters that 75% of people previously turned down a call for a constitutional convention. But attorneys for Cook County Circuit Clerk David Orr argue that it's too late to create a fresh ballot. Circuit Judge Nathaniel Houses ordered election officials to provide voters at the polls with a notice correcting the language. More than 60,000 people have cast absentee ballots in just the first week of Indiana's early voting. That's nearly a third of the 186,000 absentee ballots that were cast in the entire month before the primary election. Political analyst Brian Vargas says the large number of early votes is an indication that turnout on November 4th could be huge in Indiana. The presidential race is tight there, a typically Republican state with 11 electoral votes. The great-grandmother of a one-year-old girl who was killed in an overnight medical helicopter crash says the child was often ill. Eva Blockinger says her great-granddaughter Kirsten of Leland suffered from seizures and was in and out of hospitals regularly. The child and three other people were killed when a medical helicopter apparently clipped a radio tower wire before crashing and burning overnight in the Chicago suburb of Aurora. I'm Tom Rogers.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Time to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather. In this afternoon for Pete Levitt or the folks at Chesapeake Energy, Josh Darr is on the line. Hi to you, Josh.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tell me about weather here in the Midwest.
Well, we had some rain move through here over the past 24 to 36 hours, and now we've opened up into a beautiful day, high pressure settling in, and that will bring some of the coldest overnight temperatures to central Illinois we've seen yet this autumn. Certainly we're behind normal from when our first climatological freeze is, and we're not expecting freeze conditions tonight. You'll have temps here in the upper 30s to near 40. And then actually for the next 5, 6, 7 days, you are in a moderating trend from temperatures, daytime highs in the 60s, maybe into the 70s early next week, and lows here in the upper 30s tonight, tomorrow night, moderating into the 40s through the weekend. I mean, it's just gorgeous middle of autumn weather here. And we don't see any freeze prospects for at least the next 7 days across the Midwest, or at least the central Illinois portion of the Midwest.
Saturday evening going to be good weather for the Illinois-Indiana game here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it'll be just classic fall weather. Should be a good game and terrific weather to boot.
All right, and farmers next week will be able to continue harvest without any interruptions or not?
Well, the next weather event that we're starting to take a look at here is in the middle of next week. We have one disturbance moving through Tuesday, Wednesday. It looks like really going to stay north of Illinois, be it mainly Wisconsin and Michigan feature. And then later in next week, Thursday, Friday, is the next real chance for some rainfall. So about a week of open weather here coming up, which will be great for harvest.
How about out west as the emergence comes on for the hard red winter wheat?
Well, moisture is in great shape, and the front that came through here yesterday was a rather prolific rainfall producer across much of the hard red belt. That was a front in conjunction with the remnants of Hurricane Norbert, which is down near the Baja of California over the past weekend. So great rainfall over the past several days out west, and honestly, soil moisture conditions are just in terrific shape heading into this winter wheat season across the plain.
Gearing up for the planting season in South America, do they have adequate moisture, and will they be able to go?
Well, there is some difference between Brazil and Argentina. Argentina has been quite dry through August and September, and recently they've started to get more frequent rain events, so that's good for winter wheat as well as for improving topsoil in advance of planting of corn and beans in Argentina. Brazil's in great shape. The one area maybe to watch here is the far northeastern acreage, the states of Goiás and Tocantins, rather minor acreage, but they've been a little dry here recently and like to see some follow-up rainfall before month end.
And finally, if you could check in on the Chinese harvest season.
Oh, it looks great. It's moving on schedule here, and we don't see any weather situation that's going to prohibit normal to rapid advancement of the harvest in that portion of the world.
Well, we made it around most of the globe. Any place we missed that you think's worth mentioning yet?
No, I think we're good, Todd.
Okay,
we're good
thanks
today.
Much.
All right.
We'll talk with you later. Thanks much. That's Mark Russo. He's with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, filling in today for Pete Levitt, who was away this afternoon. Our thanks to the folks up at Chesapeake Energy for helping us make it through this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Remember to stay safe out there, and if you'd like to listen to the programs again, you can always do that. They're on our website anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. You can listen directly from the website, have it downloaded as a podcast directly to your computer, and don't forget to sign up for our weekend newsletter. Just hit subscribe on the right-hand side of the page. I'm Todd Gleason.